Well, it is an exciting day, as we've told said multiple times, because I'm not over it yet. It is a good thing. We have an incredible family here, the Andrews family, who are going to be here with us today. And I've asked Terrence for us to kind of hang out a little bit this morning and get to visit so you can kind of get to know his heart a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, totally ripped this off from Brother Scotty when Ben was here. So don't be like, well, I know where he got that idea from. Just told you. It got from Brother Scotty, because it's just a really cool way that you get to hear a little bit of his heart and story. And then as he leads us in the teaching of God's Word, I'm just going to warn you, in case you haven't been around, he has a big beard. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of it. Now, if you get closer, you might get a little nervous, but that's all right. But Terrence is a good friend of mine. Terrence and I kind of networked a little bit back and forth over the last couple of years in student ministry. And when we were a part of this journey, and as our team was seeking diligently who God's man was for us, it just kind of was crazy how our paths got crossed, and through a mutual friend. And we started talking with Terrence and just following God's leadership. He's been following God's leading his life, as have we, and we feel like it is God's will that we've come to this day. But you don't want to sit and listen to me, so I'm going to invite Terrence to come on up and join me on the stage. So come on up, Terrence, and we're gonna dialogue a little bit. I'm just going to switch microphones.
Where do you want me at?
Man, we're just going to pull up a stool
right here
on the side. Bam. Somebody left you a candy.
Oh, thank you so much, whoever you were.
Some thoughtful people around
thank
here.
You, yeah.
There you go.
That's good.
Everything's gone well?
So far, so good.
Now, I know it's gone well because you seem to root for one team that had a successful day yesterday.
I did. I fell asleep in the third quarter knowing that the Alabama was going to win.
Okay, well, there you go. There you
okay.
go. So it's good. Terrence,
yes,
I appreciate y'all being here. I'm
yes,
so
sir.
Thankful for you and your wife and your son to be with us today. But
he's over there.
Yeah, there's Micah.
We split up as a family. We're trying to get to, you know,
yes.
insight. We're watching you.
Yes. So, Terrence, I got a couple of questions for you,
yes, sir.
And then I'm going to get out of the way, and you're going to proclaim God's word. But before we do that, I just wanted you to get a chance to share a little bit of your story. So, my first question is, it's about the gospel. You know, in conversations that we've had and you've had with our team, it always comes back to the gospel.
Amen.
So, my question to you, first question is, when did the gospel transform your life? And kind of walk us through that little process.
Well, I was born and raised in California. Don't hold that against me, folks. Please. I was raised a divorced home, single mother situation, really no church whatsoever. Didn't know anything about Jesus or anything that even had to do with church. I remember as a small child getting to go with my Hispanic friend from across the street and went to Spanish Catholic Church, where they spoke Spanish, and so I didn't know anything. Maybe Jesus came out once in a while, but that was about it. I knew nothing. I was really in a dark world. I was lost as lost could be. Grew up in a situation where I found myself doing the wrong things in life. Found myself doing all the wrong things all the time. And came to a place in my life when I was in college after a motorcycle accident that hospitalized me for about 8 months, broke nearly every bone in my left side of my body, and I had a praying mother. I want to tell you that, first of all. So mothers, if you're praying for your child right now, there is hope. I promise you, because I was the one kid that they were like, I don't think so. You're wasting your prayer. I was that child. So I had a praying mother, and through my motorcycle accident, she was able to be mom. She took care of me. She did everything. I couldn't even bathe. I was that helpless. And God really used that to bring me to a place in my life where I was no longer self-sufficient. I came to that place where I had everything. I was making lots of money. I had lots of friends. I was the guy that everybody wanted to hang out with. And after my motorcycle accident, I had zero of those people hanging around me, but my mom was there. And she would always nag, come to church, come to church. So if you're that mom, keep saying, come to church. One day she invited me to church, and it just happened to be down the road from where I was staying. And I didn't have anything better to do, plus I needed some money. So I knew mom had some money. And I went, and that is where Jesus saved me. I encountered a love from God that I had never heard or knew of before in my life. So really the first time that I ever heard the gospel in its entirety, you know, I had heard Christmas and Jesus and I had heard the name dropped, but the first time that I ever heard the gospel, I guess God got me to that place in my life, Justin, where I had no place else to look but up. And that's when God just knocked on my door and said, would you let me come in? And I accepted Jesus that day as my personal Lord and Savior. You want me to tell the funny part?
Yeah, of course.
how I met my wife has to do with this. So this was a big convention of a lot of churches coming together. So there was a missionary board out in the hallway. And they had the entire world as a flat map. And they had pins where missionaries were placed all over the world. And I was kind of just joking around. And I looked at them and I said, there's not one in Hawaii. I'll go to Hawaii. And people looked at me and thought, well, you got to go to school first, man. You don't know anything. You just got saved. And I said, sign me up. I'll go. And 2 months later, I was sitting in a class. I didn't have a Bible until my mom bought me one. I didn't have any knowledge of anything. I didn't even know that there was three in one, you know, that the basic Trinity knowledge. I knew none of this. And I found myself sitting in a Bible class being poured into. And the Word just engulfing me. And I was just a sponge. And that's where I got to meet my lovely wife. And that's part of my testimony as a Christ follower. I've been sold out since day one. You know, we've had our ups and downs where we've struggled where, you know, where God was leading us but and how God was wanting to use us. But my heart's desire has always been for Christ and Christ alone.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. completely side note. Do you have the beard and the bald head, because you heard about David Burdishaw and you became an instant fan?
He's my hero, guys. You're my hero, man.
It's pretty strong.
I was looking up there, and while he was singing, I thought, man, I've got all of that except for the voice. And he's a little slimmer, too. He looks good. Yeah.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
So Jesus transformed your life. You, the gospel just rewrote your whole
swept
story.
Swept over me like the ocean.
Absolutely. And you kind of went into that in terms of finding, and this is in Hawaii. I mean, it's not even close, but it's in Hawaii.
No, this is not Hawaii, by the way. And I've never even been, y'all. Come on.
Maybe we'll work on that.
Yeah, let's go.
Who knows? But from, you kind of entered into that. But so, like, kind of lay out for us when you knew for a fact God was calling you into ministry in terms of Christian, full-time Christian service.
Really from day one, because I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't churched, so all I knew was full steam ahead. That's what God had placed in my heart. But my first summer after my first year in seminary, I was able to serve at a Kids Across America camp. It's a camp that does student ministry from 10 all the way up to 19 years old, and it's a sports-based Christian camp. Mr. Joe White, if you've ever heard of him, he's been running this camp since, the 60s. So it's a long time running great Christian ministry. But I was able to sign up, and, you know, every college student is looking for a summertime gig that's like, yeah, man, I get to do what I love. And that was sports and Jesus. And so I got to sign up with them, and I served as student leadership in the camp. So I got to talk with the college kids and lead them, and I also got to minister. I slept in the cabin with 12 kids every 8 days, rotating for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 months straight. Southwest Missouri, no air conditioning, screen windows. It was great, man. It was a great experience. Learned how to sleep with a fan and not an air conditioner. But right then and there, I know, looking back, having what I call God hindsight, right? I know that God just used that and planted a seed. I was looking at it as an opportunity to make money and do ministry, right? And provide and do what I needed to do for myself. But God knew that He was planting a seed. And in the years after that, serving in the local churches and doing different things like prison ministry and backyard Bible clubs and street preaching and mission trips and preaching in churches and teaching Sunday school, that seed grew and it just blossomed. And years ago, God just completely sat on me in a service and said, I just need you to go ahead and surrender. I had already surrendered, but He was being very specific with me. He said, I need you to surrender to student ministry. These are some of the most important people in the kingdom. Because as I shared with the student ministry this morning, and many of you might know that up to 90% of the people that have come to Jesus come to Him before the age of 18. And that just sat on me, and I wanted to see our students, our youth of our community fall in love with the same Christ that I knew. So it gave me a tremendous, not just a burden, but a calling.
Yeah. Which answered my next question was, man, why students? But you answered that. But
sorry about that.
Something you shared across the street this morning as you got to do some Q&A with the students. One of the students asked, and I'd love for you to share if it's all right with you.
Yeah.
One of the students asked, hey, what's your vision for student ministry? Not one particular facet of it, but just in student ministry whole. What's your vision? I'd love for you to kind of share with everybody.
Where was that person? Where's that person
at?
Ashley, where
are
you at?
Yeah.
She asked me five questions, y'all. She ran me down. She's like, well, I got one. So, big picture, to see lost saved, to see the saved discipled, to see the discipled making disciples, and that just a complete cycle. I mean, we desire that as a church body, I hope. I know that you've had a great pastor in the past, and this young man, right? Young man's taking the reins, right? And that is our core belief. That's my core belief, to see the lost saved. First of all, if I'm trying to disciple lost kids, it doesn't work out.
That's right.
I want to see the lost saved. I want to see the discipled making disciples. I want to see the high school student that graduates stay firm in their faith. I want to see them become a strong leader within the student ministry and within the church where God has planted them. Can I get an amen? Because that number is huge. That percentage that leaves the church is huge. So if that's not ultimately my goal, and I believe that's God's heart, that He doesn't want them to go to college and just, well, that was for my teenage years. I don't need to continue doing that, Justin. No, God doesn't make provisions for you to step out of His will. He doesn't do that. He knows you might. And He's giving us grace and mercy to do those things. But He wants to see these college kids become student pastors and worship leaders and missionaries and doctors and lawyers that get to share the gospel on the work site every day.
Absolutely. Man, I love it. I appreciate you sharing your heart, because that's real.
Amen.
You know, that's real. That's a good word, isn't it, church? That's a good word. So I'm going to get out of your way.
Oh, no.
I know God's laid a word on your heart.
All right.
That you're going to give us this
morning. Setting the time, brother.
Absolutely. Everybody.
He said only 1 hour. Is that okay?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
A good place to start. Let me pray for you, and then I'll get out of your way.
Thank you, brother.
God, I thank you for the privilege of getting to be together as your church.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you so much for Terrence and for the day that you saved him, for the day that he responded to the gospel and how you're leading and transforming him. God, today I pray that as we listen to him, bring your word, Father, I pray that it is clearly communicated, that we would not be sitting here as congregants that are observing and wondering what we're going to do after the service, but God, that we would be engaged with your living word, that it would transform us. Be with Terrence as he brings the word, and God, may you be glorified in it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate
Amen.
You, brother.
Thank you. Somebody left candies up here too, Justin. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that right? That's good. That's good. Well, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for providing the opportunity for my family and I. You've been so good. I don't know if you know it, but Justin and his family and the staff and the committee, the search committee, has all been above and beyond a blessing to my wife and my son over here. They split. What are you sitting over there, boy? What is this? Are you leaving us already, man? They haven't even voted yet, brother. And who is that next to you? You don't even know his name. Okay. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you because above all else, if we're not grateful for the blessings that God has given us in our lives, we've kind of missed the point, right? And I pray that today I'll be a blessing back to you. So if you will, grab your Bibles. Yes, I have a Bible and an iPad for those that are critiquing right now. So just in case she dies on me, which she got 94%, so we're good for a couple hours. Just in case, I've got this. You really don't want me to go here because I usually go longer than me. I just preach right out of the Word. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43 and just find it. And as you're turning there, I'm going to kind of talk and then we'll go from there. So we've come through the Christmas season, and we're all kind of on that baby Jesus high, right? No? Some of us are. Some of us still, yeah. I see Hunter shaking his head. He's like, yeah, I still got baby Jesus. A lot are tired. That's the other people that didn't shake their head, which was the majority. A lot of y'all are really tired, and I see Gonzo over here. He's kind of, you with me, brother? Did you have your coffee this morning? No, no coffee needed, huh? Caffeine free. Listen, I just want you to take a second. You found your place in your Bible, I hope. I want you to take a second and just kind of breathe in new life. It's been crazy, I'm sure, for a lot of families. I've already heard just a little bit about the Westmead family and different people going through different things and people in the hospital and people away from their family and what they know out of state. So just kind of take a deep breath and breathe in some new life. I'm not going to have you close your eyes and do this, but I do want you to just know that God is here, right? Especially if you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you showed up today, God is here. And just kind of breathe that new life in, relax, and feel good about in 360 days, you're going to have to go through all this again. It's all going to happen again. Christmas is coming, right? So our Christmas as a family, y'all have messed me up, really. I'm going to have to do this. Our Christmas as a family has kind of been a blur, right? Because this is going on in our lives, and we didn't think about this a couple months ago. I wasn't going, man, Christmas is going to be really busy because we're going to be traveling to Decatur. And matter of fact, the first time we came to Decatur without just driving by it on our way up 65 was a couple weeks ago. And we really love Decatur. We love it. We drove all over the place yesterday and saw a lot of Christmas stuff. But we've all come through that Christmas season. But the number one thing I'm most thankful for is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? You got them trained pretty good, brother. We're going to bring them up a little bit. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ stepping out of his majestic home and coming here to be a servant. Richard Ross, Dr. Richard Ross, says this: Christ coming from glory down to earth is like divers having to swim through raw sewage to remove tons of baby wipes clogging the sewer. And he did that for 33 years to save us from an eternity of torment. Thank God. Can I get an amen? What a wondrous love that he had for me and he had for all of us, for all of humanity. That brings us to what I want to talk to today. You're like, man, he told us to turn to Isaiah 43. He hadn't even said anything about the Bible. That's why he said 10 minutes. Man, cut it off. Isaiah chapter 43. If you're there, look at verse 1 with me. And what I want to say before we get into the Word When God speaks, He speaks in a language. And most of you are like, yeah, that's English. Or some of you might be saying, that's Spanish. Or if you're from anywhere else in the world, or if you're bilingual, he might speak. I'm going to tell you about a language that God speaks. And that language is the language of restoration. God speaks the language of restoration. You've heard just a little bit about what Christ has done in my life. And you've heard just a little bit about what Christ is doing in our life. And I'm sure there's many, many more testimonies here in this sanctuary today that are just like mine. That God just reached down in that nasty pit of life and pulled you out. And you just have to thank God. You just have to thank God. So in Isaiah chapter 43, read with me. Verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord, He created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." So, first thing, foremost, when God speaks, remember His language is restoration, and when God speaks, He does so as our Creator. He does so as our Creator. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, He who created you." He who created. And then He calls them by name. "Oh, Jacob." And He says, "Fear not. Because knowing us." Who's ever been afraid in here? Most everybody. I'm kind of terrified right now. No, I'm just kidding. Most all of us have experienced fear. And God knows that we're a fearful people. What happened in the garden right away? Oh, they're hiding. They're hiding. They're fearful. And God yells out, "Fear not." He knows that. And He says, "No fear is needed." God has a very unique and very special call on us, His creation. Because He is our Creator. And listen, if we forget this very foundational fact, I know you're probably thinking, this guy doesn't know a whole lot about the Bible. He's telling me things I already know. But some believers have fear because they are not connecting that God, our Creator, knows us. So that foundational fact gives us a great pair of spectacles. Where's my guy that calls his glasses spectacles? He's here somewhere. Gives us a great pair of spectacles to see everything else. So when God speaks, He does so as our Creator. That's number one. And when God speaks to His people, He does so as our Redeemer. You see, He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Here's God telling us of His redemption for His people. Because there is no other person, nor any other thing found in heaven or in earth that could redeem His creation. He is our Creator, and He is our Redeemer. But God was also looking forward right here in Isaiah 43, verse 1. He says, "For I have redeemed you." He's looking forward to the price that had to be paid on the cross. If you think God didn't have the cross on His mind in Isaiah 43, my friend, it was there. Because Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. It was on His mind. But also looking forward, He's saying a death for forgiveness and a resurrection for eternal life. And third, Christ is our Redeemer, our Creator. And thirdly, He speaks to His people. He does so by name. You see, He calls out to, "Oh, Jacob, oh, Israel." Then He goes on and says, "Fear not, I have redeemed you." And then He says, "I have called you by name. I have called you by name. You are mine." Let that soak in just for a moment. "You are mine," He says. We have confidence. We know that this God, this Creator, this Redeemer is ours. You got that one friend that you are friends with and you go out in public every once in a while. I know Justin's that guy. You got that one friend when they start acting up, you're like, go the other way, just walk away. They're going to do their thing. You got that one friend, but you're really tight with them. And you're just like, I don't think I want to be involved with God. God doesn't do that. He calls you by name. Oh, Justin, he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of us when we're probably pretty shameful people. God's not ashamed of us. He calls us by name. He says, fear not. Know this. We can know that God would have not created us, redeemed us, called us by name if He does not intend to finish the good work which He has started in us. See, I'm here to preach a message, but my message is always of restoration and hope. Because without such, Christ doesn't exist. Because Christ's foundation is restoration and hope. That was what He was to me. You see, when God revealed Him to me, He did so as my Creator, my Redeemer, my personal God. And then He did this. He took His stamp and put it on my life. And that's what we see here in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. And for time's sake, this chapter is so rich and so meaty. You can just sit right here and then you can go on. I challenge you to keep reading Isaiah 43. It's been in some of the Sunday school literature I know. And maybe you've gone and studied and you're like, preacher, I know these things already. Let's grab a hold of them. Let's get them real firm in our hand and drop down to verse 19. Look in your word. Verse 19. This is where I think God was excited in verse 1, right? But then He says, behold. He says, look here. I want you to look. Look. I am doing a new thing. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and I will make rivers in the desert. Amen. Of course, He's referring to things that He's already done, right? And He's trying to tell His people, hey, look, I can do it again. I can do it again. When God speaks forthly, He does so by looking forward and not behind. God wants us to put our eyes on the new work and not the old things that He's done. God wants us not to look back and remember the discouragement and the defeat that we may have had. But God is always wanting us to look back and remember in terms of what God's mighty work has done in our lives. He doesn't want us to forget those things, but He doesn't want us to be so focused and caught up with the bad things and the defeats that we've had in the past that we can't move forward, that we can't see the new work. Why would you think that he would say, behold, look what I'm doing. Look, I want to take you through places that you've never been and some places that you have been and bring you to a higher place and bring you to a greater place. God, the Creator, for those that are taking notes, the Redeemer, the Maker of new things, the One who calls you by name. This is the God that made Himself of no reputation. This is the baby Jesus. This is God in the flesh. We must not forget that He created us. He redeemed us. He calls us by name. And He does a new thing in our life. So I ask you today. I ask you, have you recognized this? Maybe you say, well, I've been saved for 50 years. It's okay. Maybe you just got saved. Maybe you don't know Jesus like I know Jesus. I want to ask you today, do you know Him as your Creator, your Redeemer, the personal, the intimate God, the One that calls you by name? And He says, you are mine. And then He says, I want to do a new thing in you. I want to do something so great that you couldn't even imagined it. You see, we're in Decatur, Alabama. I never thought that I would be in Decatur, Alabama. I never thought that I would be here with these people. I've met a lot of you, but some of you are complete strangers and hopefully I'll get to meet you. But God's wanting to do a new thing in everyone's life. It's not just for me. 2019 is not just for me, David. It's for every single one of us. He either wants to birth a brand new life in you or take that brand new life that He's given you a long time ago and do a new thing with it. So believe today and follow the Creator, the Redeemer, the one who calls you by name and the one that wants to do a new thing. Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, 2019, forever. In whom all things were created. All things remain equal to Him. The truth, the way, and the life. The light in darkness, a very rare treasure to be found and to be loved. Isn't He wonderful? Amen? Can I get an amen? He's wonderful. There's no one else like Him. So as we exit the Christmas season and we go into the new year, the babe in the manger gets left behind. But know that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Sovereign Lord of the universe, the one that was in the beginning and spoke the words of life, know that He's wanting to do a new thing in you today. So as we take this time to pray, as we go into this time of prayer, you can close your Bible. You can start thinking thoughts. This guy, he was pretty good, and this is how I want to vote. I don't want you to even think about that right now. Because if the gospel is not what is priority in my life, I've missed the mark. I want to give a time, a moment that we say, hey, the altar is open. Justin and other men will be down here to help guide you. Maybe you have questions. Maybe there's things in your life that you're thinking, God can't do that. That darkness is too dark for Him to handle. I've been in the dark so long that I'm afraid to come out. Today, He wants to do a new thing. As your Creator, as your Redeemer, as the one who calls you by name and says that you are His. So if you would, stand to your feet. We'll just take this moment to pray. Afterwards, Justin and other men will most definitely be up here as well as myself. As the musicians come forth and they play, just remember, the God who created you wants to redeem you or has redeemed you. He's called you by name. He's been a personal God, an intimate God. And may I say this, in a world of inclusiveness, He's a very exclusive God because He does so by name. He would not be an exclusive God if He didn't call you by name. So come today. As we pray, I'd ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes. And not because that's a thing that we do, right? But because we're trying to know the will of God for our life. We're trying to know the new thing He's doing and He wants to do. As that Creator, pray with me. Father God, we come to You in the name above all names. You captivate our searching hearts. Lord God, You are the Creator, the Redeemer, the one who calls us by name. And the one that wants to do a new thing in us today. Lord, Your grace is sufficient for us. Not just today and tomorrow, but forever. I ask, Lord, if there is someone here, I ask that You would just give them the strength. Give them the ability to walk down and accept You as their Lord, as their Savior. God, guide them, Lord. I pray that You would prepare them for the life of ministry ahead of them, whether it's serving in the church or, God, just serving fries at Burger King. Lord, we can glorify You wherever we're at. No one is greater in the kingdom of God. except for those that are sharing the gospel. Lord, we pray that you would come and give new life today for those that seek you. I pray that you would birth new life here at Westmead. You, God, alone are powerful enough to conquer any darkness and any life. There's no one that's strayed too far. And for the believer that may have found themselves in a time of lowness, maybe they're walking through the valley, maybe they've been on the mountaintop and now they're down, maybe they're caught in the storm of life and they feel like they're in a tornado or just being whipped around and everything's shaking, God, I pray that you would speak to them and say, fear not, I am the one who redeems you. I am your creator. I am the one who calls you by name. I am the one that wants to give new things to you. I pray this in the holy, powerful name of King Jesus. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning. One way,